Blog Talk Radio.
All right. All right, so what's going on, y'all? How y'all feeling? Urban Therapy with Sun 752, and this is Daily Go Get a Mism Show. I'm your host, Sun 752. Tonight on this hump day, Wednesday, the 14th of June, we are talking about the Second Amendment ain't stupid. The Second Amendment, do y'all know what the Second Amendment is? That is the right to bear arms, the right to bear arms. So we're going to talk about guns tonight, guns. Whether you are pro-gun, anti-gun, gun for some, not gun for all, guns in the hands of registered, legally law-abiding people, or guns for everybody, or, you know, just guns for the cops and the military and things like that. We're going to get this discussion started because it's actually important, especially for our people. You know our people. You know us. You know, the brown, but not just the brown, I'm talking about the brown black, you know, because I don't get it twisted. I don't want to get us caught up in everybody else's argument because it never works out for us. But in terms of the black people, when we talk about and think about the Second Amendment, we have a totally different argument than the rest of the world and definitely the rest of this country that we live in, which is the United States. So what's your position? What is your position on firearms? You know, you have, a lot of our people are totally against firearms of any kind. They say there's no reason for any guns. Guns are the reason why the world is so messed up today. So many of our young men and women have lost their lives due to senseless gun violence and things like that can really shape your perspective about the use of guns and what they actually are here for and how you should incorporate them into your lives or not. So it's an important argument for us because just like many of any issues, we're definitely divided on this issue. You know, and we should be divided on this issue. When we are talking about guns, we are literally talking about life and death. Literally talking about life and death because guns don't do anything except for cause life-altering violence and death. That's it. They don't have another purpose. Unfortunately, they don't do anything else. They don't build communities. They don't bring positivity. They do not do anything except for offer the threat of a deletion of life. Yet they are arguably the foundation, the rock and foundation of this country. You know, had it not been for the gun, I don't think that there would be a United States of America. As a matter of fact, I'm sure of it. It has pretty much aided in shaping the world without building the world. It has shaped the world, but it has not helped to build the world. And if you don't understand what I'm talking about with that, soon you will understand exactly what I mean. And it's a phenomenon, and it's something that's serious, and it's something that we have to deal with. We as a people, we have to deal with this whole firearm or gun argument. Honestly, when I use the word firearms, I'm normally thinking about handguns. I don't know about you, but I'm normally thinking handguns when I think about the word firearms. What about you? You know, a firearm can be anything. It can be it can be any kind of gun. It can be a gun. It can be a rifle. It can be an assault rifle. It could probably be an instrument of war. And essentially, all guns are instruments of war. So they have a definitive, destructive purpose for each tool. But I want to talk about how it affects our lives. How it affects our lives. Are you gun owners? Are you go-getters gun owners? A lot of people don't, you know, and I respect if you do not say if you are a gun owner or not. There are consequences for some people who may admit that they are gun owners. Many people think that if you tell people that you have a gun, then they will prepare for you as such. So, like, if somebody was just going to rob your house, if they know that you have a gun, then they may bring a gun in order to protect themselves from you protecting yourself and your property. I don't think I necessarily agree with that concept. I think that guns are a necessary deterrent in some situations, some circumstances. You know, so if a person knows that you have a firearm and you won't hesitate to use it if you feel like your life is endangered, yeah, it may discourage some people from messing around with you. At the same time, it can be a bad position if people know that you will use your firearm in cases where you just feel disrespected, not necessarily endangered, not necessarily in any type of trouble, but just, you know, like, who you talking to, or what do you think you're doing, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm sure that we've all known people like that in our lives. Some of them may have been our parents, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, you know, it happens. When we start talking about the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, and when we start talking about firearms, we are talking about a certain responsibility. You have to be, wait a minute, slow down. Oh, you got a real, you should be a very responsible person when you are considering handling firearms, because we are literally talking about life and death. Literally talking about life and death. We're not talking about anything else. You know, at times we may be talking about crippling. We may be talking about maiming. We may be talking about handicapping, which is the same as crippling, but you know, regardless of whether you are in front of the gun or in back of the gun, it's going to be a life-changing experience when you handle one. So the responsibility that a gun owner or a gun user should have is an extremely high responsibility. It's not something to not be taken seriously. One of the reasons that guns are so unpopular with certain people is because they have been so often used irresponsibly in the hands of people who don't seem to understand the seriousness of the consequences that guns can render. You know, thugs out here, gangsters, street thugs and criminals and gangsters who seem to think they're just playing a game of Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty when it comes to guns. You know, life does not respawn the way it does on a video game. And anybody who doesn't understand that is a problem in our society. Anybody who doesn't understand that is a really, 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 really big problem. Because if you can see what bullets do to flesh, even the smallest gun, if you can see, like, if you take a piece of meat from a dead animal, then you fire a bullet into that flesh, and you see what it does to uncovered flesh. To flesh that does not have skin on it. If you can be okay with that and be encouraged to say, yeah, This is the thing I hope to use one day against somebody. You should never own a gun. You, sir or ma'am, should never, ever own a gun. So I understand to a certain degree why some people are totally against guns. If you've ever lost a loved one due to gun violence, you're probably not going to be pro-gun. You'll probably be one of those types of people who says that all guns should be banned, all of them. So when we have campaigns and government that tells you to turn in all your guns, and we won't even look to see if they've been used in the commission of a crime, you know, I can understand why you would be for that. At the same time, if you are a responsible gun owner and maybe you have been in the military and you have gone overseas and have served your country and protected your comrades, your fellow brothers in arms against the enemy, I could understand why you would be for guns. And you say, well, although I may not be pro-war, but I am definitely pro-protection and pro-defense. I understand both sides of it. I really do. And that's why for our people, this gun violence and this whole Second Amendment thing is different for us, because there were times in our history when we were not able to have guns. And there were times in our history where the gun is totally responsible for our condition today. There were times in our history when guns mixed with white supremacy has put us in the position that we are in today. And so many of us don't even see it. We don't even understand it. We don't even understand how it works or how it has worked. But to see us running around here, you know, acting all wild like this is the OK Corral or the Alamo or the Wild West, whatever, it's just not acceptable for us. But we don't see it. And this is one of those issues. Guns is just like a lot of issues in the Black community. One thing about I think the biggest, hardest and most misunderstood part of our struggle as a people, the one thing, and trust me, I understand there are many things, but I think the most major thing, the most major problem in our community, in the Black community, is our inability to be able to agree on anything that we would fight for. We don't have one single issue in our community that we would stand up and fight for collectively. Not even 90% of us would say, no, this is wrong. I'm not having it. I'll fight for this. I'm against this. I'll fight against, you know, we don't have an issue like that. Not even racism, not even white supremacy, not even inequality, not even education, nothing. I cannot think of a single issue that I could say all Black people agree on this. This is either good for us or bad for us. I can't think of one thing. And if y'all can think of one thing, then I would be interested in having a discussion about that. So I want y'all to think about it. Can you think of one issue that you would say that 90% or more of Black people think that this is good, or 90% of all Black people think that this is bad? I don't see anything. And I think that's the thing that really messes us up bad, real bad, you know what I'm saying? So when we start talking about this Second Amendment thing, yeah, the Second Amendment, right to bear arms. Now, in the Constitution, the Second Amendment is the right to bear arms, and many people misconstrue what the meaning of that is and the context that it was developed at the time that it was developed. Yes, it's sort of means that every tax-paying, red-blooded, law-abiding citizen in America has the right to own firearms. That's what it means on the surface. But that's not exactly what it means. Because just like an amendment to the Constitution means a change, there is language within the amendment that shows you that it does not apply to everyone in every circumstance. For example, there is a federal law in this country that prevents convicted felons from ever owning or using or being in the presence of firearms ever again in life. It's an issue. It's an issue because what if the felony that you were convicted for did not involve any firearms? Why should you be restricted for your life after you have already served your time? Let's say you've maxed out your sentence, you've walked off all your parole or probation time. Why shouldn't you be able to own a firearm? It sounds like a valid question to me. Now, if your conviction was in the commission of owning a firearm, I can understand it. It makes sense to me. It does. It makes sense to me. If you use the gun in order to commit a crime that you were arrested, tried, and convicted for, yeah, it makes sense to me that you would be banned from using that again because you have already shown that you were irresponsible in owning a firearm in the first place. But what if your felony conviction didn't have anything to do with firearms? Why can't you own a gun? Now, the NRA, you know, like it or love it, I mean, like it or lump it, support it or not, they believe that everybody should be able to own guns. Everybody. But not really everybody. Wink, wink. They believe that a lot of people should own guns. But the NRA is very, very political. Very political. And, you know, where the money goes, that's where the legislation shows. Where the money goes, the legislation flows. When you're paying, they're obeying. So you won't necessarily see the NRA out here fighting for truth and justice. But their donors, the people who donate to the NRA and the politicians that use the NRA as a pawn, well, both sides benefit from that. Republicans use the NRA all the time. That's why you'll rarely ever hear Republicans speak out against guns, because they know that is sudden death of your campaign. You ain't winning no elections talking about some, no, we got to get these guns out of control and we got to get them out of the hands of unregistered, we got to get these unregistered guns out of people's hands, and we got to make it harder for criminals to be able to buy guns. They ain't, no. You want to stay away from that argument. If you're a Republican, you ain't getting elected, sir or ma'am. You ain't getting elected. Now, you may say something like, yes, we need to make sure that every home that owns a gun is a responsible home with responsible law-abiding citizens. But you ain't talking down about no guns. So where y'all at on this argument? Where y'all at with this topic? What do you think? What do you think? I see we have a call on the line on the blog talk side. How shall we handle this? Let me see. Hold on. Let me read y'all comments. Hold on, caller with the last numbers 4938. We're going to try to answer the call. We've had some audio technical difficulties when it comes to trying to take callers, but we're going to try to work it out. So just bear with me for a second. Carol Chamberlain, She says, this scenario seems to fit today's actions. Oh, did something happen on the news that I don't know about? Because I didn't see anything. And so Jones says, having a weapon could be for comfort. Comfort? I guess that's an interesting word there, Ansel. Comfort. And he says, everyone has a seatbelt. No one wants to use it for that. Okay. Stacy White, she says, so glad my mother never owned a gun. Now, that's an interesting thing to say. Glad that your mother never owned a gun. Are you saying that because you think that your mom might have used the gun in anger or in an irresponsible way? Or, you know, I'm interested to know what the background of that you're speaking about. What's behind that? Carol Chamberlain says, a close friend, female, lives alone, home robbed, and she's home, shoots an intruder, and is now in therapy. Intruder was unalive, and she's being sued by family. Well, they can try to sue her all they want. She had the right to discharge her weapon in the commission of protecting her home, life, and property. So, but these are some of the things we run into. These are the things we run into, because when it gets to the court, now they want to know what the real circumstances were of you using the firearm. Did you know the person? Was there malicious intent? Where did you shoot them? Did you shoot them in the back while they were running away? I'm not 100% sure of this, but I believe that if someone breaks into your home while you're there and you shoot them, I don't even think that it matters if you shot them in the back. You have the right, like they trespass on your property, in your home, causing a danger for you. You don't know. You can always say I shot them in the back because I thought that they had a weapon and they were trying to run for cover so they could shoot me. So I had to make sure that that didn't happen. If you didn't know the person, more than likely that's going to stand up in court. But then when you start talking about court, now you're talking about lawyers. Now you're talking about spending thousands of dollars to defend yourself and defend a position where you were 100% right. And that's what makes a whole lot of it right. We start talking about all this legal stuff. We start talking about getting into your pockets. We start talking about messing around with your livelihood. I got a problem with that. All right. And I'm sorry about your friend, Carol. That's these are the stories that I'm talking about. All right. TK Wright says, I believe in the right to have a firearm. Barbara Hill C. Say, what's going on? Thanks for coming through. Barbara says, I carry every single day. Okay. All right. Vita B, what up, Vita? Good to see me, some, you. See me, some, you. All right. Carol says, it is, Barbara. His family is suing for wrongful death, but he had a rap sheet like a telephone book. Yeah. We have so many different opinions on these arguments where a firearm is concerned. Now, had she stabbed him up, we probably wouldn't be talking about nothing. Then again, you know, they might try to convict her or try her for O.J. Simpson crimes. Emily Dunlap in the house. I said it. Emily. And Carol says, and she has a license for her weapon. And, of course, they took the weapon until the end of the trial. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't see how. See, the law does what it wants to do. Because if you are licensed to carry a weapon. Now, okay. On one hand, they may have confiscated the weapon because it's evidence now, maybe. But she definitely shouldn't lose her license to carry So if she has another gun, or if she wants to go out and buy another gun, and she's not a convicted felon. Either way, unless she's tried and convicted in criminal court, she can buy all the guns she wants. And we're going to get into that whole buying all the guns she wants type of argument in a minute. Now I'm starting to wonder if we're going to have enough time to really do this show. All right, or finish the concepts of what we're talking about. Make sure y'all hit that like button, y'all. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, this is the Daily Go Get 'Emism Show. I'm your host, Sun752, and we are talking about the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment ain't stupid. They know what they're doing. All right. T. Carrie Wright says, when my kids were younger, I didn't want a firearm in the house. I was afraid that an accident would happen. A lot of people feel that way. I feel like our people feel that way a little too much. Many of our people feel like guns are just the enemy of our people in and of themselves. But when you don't understand even how a gun works, and you'd be surprised at how many people don't know how a gun works. You know, television and movies have us thinking that there's a such thing as guns going off. You know, you see in the movies or TV, they fighting over the gun. They talking about the gun went off. Well, I'll tell you how guns go off. Guns go off by you pulling the trigger. They don't go off by you having an argument. They don't go off by you just having your hand on the handle. They don't go off by you pulling back the hammer and throwing the gun on the ground. You could throw a gun against a wall. You can tie a string to it and wave it around and throw it like a boomerang. It won't come back, but it's not going to go off. There's only one way that a gun can go off, and that's by you pulling the trigger. That's it. It's not designed to, there is no double or single action that can make a gun go off other than you pulling the trigger. That's the way it works. There are no other buttons on there. It's not like the one-armed bandit what do you call that thing? That slot machine. You know how you can pull the arm on a slot machine, or you can press the button. It doesn't work that way. Gun doesn't have a button on the side that you can push to make it go off. There's no other way. You pull the trigger, it fires. That's it. You don't pull the trigger, it won't fire. So there's no gun. The gun went off. The gun went off because you pulled the trigger. While y'all were wrestling over the gun to see which one of y'all could get it from the other, you shot it. You pulled the trigger, and somebody got hit. That's it. No more to it. So, but TV, movies, and sometimes even the evening news has you thinking that there's another way for a gun to be discharged other than pulling the trigger. Well, there ain't none. So because we don't understand that there is none, people just see a gun and be like, oh, my gosh. Yes, you can take a fully loaded pistol and put it to your head. It ain't going off by you looking down the barrel of it unless you pull that trigger. And, you know, there are so many controversial things that happen. Like, you know, we've heard stories of children getting a hold of guns. And this goes with T. Carrie Wright. T. Carrie Wright's fears were. We hear about 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds discharging weapons mistakenly and shooting other children or something like that. And when I see news like that and when I see stories like that in the news, I'll be like, they are lying. They are lying. A 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, you know how, remember when you were really young, 7-year-old, 6, 5-year-old, you know how you thought that you were strong back then. But you remember how heavy your bike used to seem? If you had to carry your bike up a flight of steps or something like that, and you know, your bike used to seem so big and so awkward like that. That's what a gun feels like. for an infant or a toddler. I'll never forget, and I think I've told y'all this story before. My uncle is a retired police officer. And I remember he gave me a 38 special revolver handgun when I was about seven or eight years old. Yeah, about 7 or 8 years old. He gave me the gun because he removed the barrel. So the gun could not be loaded or whatever. But I remember I could not pull that trigger with one finger. I couldn't do it. I could not do it. At 7 or 8 years old, I could not pull that trigger. It was hard as hell. So I had to use both fingers to pull the trigger. And I was a small but very active, athletic, strong child at 7 or 8 years old. I could run and jump and skateboard and flip and do cartwheels and pull myself up and jump and climb trees and jump off of roofs and things like that and not get hurt. But I could not pull this damn trigger with one finger. Could not do it. I tried and I tried and I tried. And that's just a 38. If it was something like a 357 or something with a larger caliber, no way. So I'm thinking, like, you know, when I see stories in the news and they're talking about, the baby was 2 or 3 years old and mistakenly shot another child. And I said, even a semi-automatic, a baby can't do it. Cannot do it. A loaded pistol is heavy. It's heavy. Bullets are heavy to a child. The gun itself is heavy. It's heavy to an adult. Honestly, a fully loaded with a magazine full, 10 shots. Let's just say 10 shots for a semi-automatic pistol. Let's say a 9mm or 40 ounce or 45 or you know, even a Desert Eagle 50. It's heavy. A child is going to find it hard to lift it, let alone discharge the weapon. They're lying. They're lying. It's not, somebody did something foul with that handgun and is trying to blame a child for it. So I always wonder, like, I wonder if forensics, you know, did a gunpowder test on the wrists and arms of the baby that allegedly shot the gun. That's what I want to know. Let's get forensics in here. But you rarely hear the end of those stories. You just hear those headlines. But anyway, so I understand why some parents are very hesitant, worried, and reluctant to have firearms in the house with their children, because children are very curious about firearms. I will say that. Very, very curious about firearms. Okay. All right. Stacey White says, God is the only thing divinely protected, protecting you, me right now. Okay, cool. Emily says, I have a gun and people say I'll be too soft to pull the trigger. It's me or them. I don't think so. No argument here. Me and you on the same team with that. No argument with me at all on that. TK Wright says, nah, my kids were too curious. These days, I'm insisting that my kids go to the range with me now and they're older. I think that's good training. You should understand the way that a gun works. If you don't know how a gun even works, you don't know what's inside of it. You don't know about the springs if you don't know about guns, you shouldn't have a gun. But at the same time, whether you know anything about guns or not, I would rather you be able to have a gun when somebody bad has a gun against you. I would much rather you be the gun owner or the gun controller rather than an assailant being able to control the gun on you. That's my wish and my prayer for you all. Carol Chamberlain says, you did a show sometime back with a caller who belonged to the black-owned gun organization. Remember? Yeah. Okay. Barbara Hill CC says, years ago, my cousin's kids found their weapon and the son shot his sister in the back. She had to relearn everything at six, and the parents were found innocent of charges, and the son's mental went south. Ooh. How old was the son? See, children don't understand what bullets do. They don't. People don't come back from that. Barbara Hill CC says, I thought long and hard about my temper and owning a weapon while carrying rose quartz, et cetera, in my purse. I decided to pull it only when I intended to use it. See, I don't believe that people will use a gun just because they have a bad temper. I don't believe that. I think that people who have bad tempers and bad intentions, they already know, they've already pictured out in their mind what they're going to do one day. I think that some people like that are just looking for the opportunity to be irresponsible, to be evil, to be hurtful. Ansel Jones says, a loaded gun is 1.5 pounds, internet says. I know mine is heavier than that. I know I have a 40 cal, and that thing got to weigh at least 4 pounds, fully loaded. At least. I have a 38, and that thing unloaded is heavy. It's way more than a pound and a half, that's for sure. So they must be talking about a small 25 or maybe a 380. I don't know. That's not like a baby gun. Shoot the clip. The clip damn near, well, should I say the magazine for all you military heads, for you purists out there. The magazine, that's a clip in the hood. The magazine weighs damn near, yeah, I think my magazine, this is 17 shots. I think that weighs at least a pound and a half, at least. And you got to think, the better the gun is, the more steel it has on it, because a cheap gun like a 380 or, you know, certain guns made by certain manufacturers, they can't stand up to the heat that a lot of guns, like, you're not going to be able to lick off 50 shots, 100 shots. It, like, the gun can't hold up. It doesn't, you know. Certain brands like Heckler and Koch, Sig Sauer, certain Smith & Wessons, definitely Glock, Desert Eagle, they are meant to be able to fire for long-term use. So you can finish the magazine, load it back up, bam, 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 it's not going to jam. You know, as long as your semi-automatic weapon is oiled correctly or whatever, it's gonna hold up under all of that heat. Certain brands won't. They'll basically start to melt on you. Barbara says the son was about 8. Yeah, and if it was a semi-automatic weapon, he could probably fire that at 8 years old. I couldn't fire that at 7, 8 years old, I could not fire that. I mean, well, I couldn't pull the trigger. It wouldn't fire regardless. Emily Dunlap says, I think God that I haven't had to use it because I don't like violence and I'm not a violent person. I hear that. And Barbara says, oh, I had to consider my temper to make sure I would remain responsible. Well, there's a difference between being willing to punch somebody in the face, slap them, maybe even kick them in the balls, and because you know the likelihood that somebody's going to sue you, or that the cops are going to get involved for a fist fight is low, but the likelihood that the cops aren't going to get involved for anything involving a weapon, a firearm, is what? They're getting involved. You ain't shooting nobody out here on these streets and thinking that the cops ain't coming. Hold on, y'all. Hold on for a second. It seems to me that that helps a lot of people be able to control their temper. When you are facing court charges, judges, jury, jail time, arrest records, criminal records that can have a big impact on your income, your ability to be able to take care of yourself and your family. Yeah, it seems to have an impact on your temper. Yeah, you know, guns, I think, do a better job with responsibility, and as far as responsibility is concerned, when it comes to people's tempers, guns do they do a pretty good job. They do a pretty good job. Now, you might be a puncher and a slapper, but you know when you get into that realm of being a shooter, you ain't shooting without the cops getting involved. You already know that. And believe me, it makes a difference when somebody steps on your new sneakers or brushes you with their elbow or is talking behind your back or is disrespecting you in some type of way, insulting you. Yeah, it makes a difference if you're a responsible person. If you were already a loose cannon and somebody who was destined to be behind bars one day, yeah, you should never have a gun. But it wouldn't matter if you had one or not. You're going to find a way to get yourself behind those bars. There ain't nothing that can stop a jailbird from being in jail. Oh. Ansel Jones says, I'm sorry, 6 or 7 pounds. Yeah, that sounds right. It's heavy. It's heavy. Yo. A loaded weapon is heavy. It's a heavy item. So then a 2-year-old can't lift that. Can't do it. 3-year-old, I don't think they can. Be dragging that thing along. They don't even know what it is. Barbara Hill says, I fired the governor, which is a 40 cal. I like that it fires 12 gauge in the same chamber with the 40 cal ammo. It's heavy. Stacey White says, oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Emily says, I'll probably use mine to kill a dog before a human because people keep trying to put their dog playfully, of course, on me. But I don't play like that. Man, you better not shoot no dog. You can get away with a human, but yo, whatever you do, do not shoot a dog. Oh, Lord. Oh, gosh. You'll probably get away with shooting your mom before you get away with shooting Fido. And Carol says, so many aren't responsible. I'm going to try to take a caller. Y'all know that it's going to be, listen, if it don't work out, it don't work out. I'm going to try. I am going to try. Here is me trying to take a caller. Let me see. 3195276199. That's a number to call. All right, that's what I'm going to try to do. All righty. Wish me luck. At least you can wish me luck.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show. You are now in the host queue.
Now we got the echo too. All right, this is what we want to do.
Welcome to the Daily Go Get-Emism Show. Sorry I had you holding on so long, but I tried to explain to you the audio technical difficulties that we've been having. What's on your mind this evening, sir, or madam, or ma'am?
Well, hello, Go. This is Joe. I got through.
What's up,
even
Joe?
Even though.
How you
yeah,
feeling?
I'm hearing your arguments for the Second Amendment. I happen to agree with the Second Amendment. And in some states, I believe it's New York, even if you shoot somebody in the, if you do shoot somebody in the back and that person's inside your premises intending to rob, you're going to jail. And if you see a burglar coming in through your window, and if that burglar doesn't have any weapon in the hands and you shoot, you're going to jail. This is what I've been told.
Okay. So that's,
you know, I happen not to believe that.
If they break into your home?
Yeah,
I don't believe that either. You know,
I believe that they probably do, but I say I don't believe in that concept. I believe you're in my house. I don't know who you are. You're coming through the door, whether it's open or not. You know, especially if a woman, you know, if you're a woman, you should just shoot.
Yeah.
This is a problem. This is a major, major problem that we have going on these days. Let me ask my callers. Let me ask my guest. Can y'all hear the person that's on the phone? Because I know that you're low on my phone. What I want to try to do.
Uh-huh.
Hold on a second.
Okay. I had to call back in because you were choppy at one time.
Let me see if I can make this thing work.
Are you using a mixer?
I'm going to try to use a Bluetooth speaker so it can be a little louder.
Okay. Sometimes mixers have problems with audio.
Yeah. Let me see. Let me try this thing here.
And while you're doing that, there was a question when I first got on. You'd asked about, you don't think there's a singular issue that 90% of blacks would agree with. Well, with my conversation with blacks and Black Talk Radio, it seems to me like 90% of blacks think that there's systemic racism.
No, they don't. We don't all believe in that. Man.
No? Oh, okay.
Hell no. Now, I can have you on the Bluetooth speaker, so you're a little louder now. Hopefully.
Okay.
Hopefully. Can y'all hear him a little better now? Because he's more amplified now. So we'll see how this works out. All right. So hold on for a minute, Joe, because we have another caller on the line. Let me see what they have to say. Let's see. And, Joe, you can hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound far away, though.
Okay. Yeah. You know, we can't have everything, right?
I guess not.
Hold on a second.
Now I'm hearing an echo. Now I got an echo. What the hell?
Caller with the unknown number, welcome to the Daily Go Get-Emism Show. Thank you for holding. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I may have an unknown number, but I'm not unknown to be calling my fine compatriot Joe here. My name is Sarge, and I'd just like you to know that I have undergone a complete odyssey with regard to my viewpoint on the Second Amendment, from being a gun prohibitionist to being a Second Amendment absolutist from the standpoint of an important inalienable liberty.
Okay.
And
right, so,
I got an echo now.
I got it too.
From the standpoint of the perspective of a retired police officer who is a certified police firearms instructor, I'm a three-war combat veteran, and when I first went on the job as a police officer, I believed in just basically firearm confiscation. But my experience as a police officer led me to believe that law-abiding citizens owning firearms are not at all the problem, not even close to being the problem. It is entirely confined to a very small subset of the population, oftentimes recidivists, who repeatedly violate the law no matter what the law says. So it won't make a difference with regard to them, no matter what laws you pass. And if anybody is to believe the idea that the only thing guns are for or good for is to murder and massacre people, I would like to point out that I haven't shot a human being since I left Southeast Asia some 5 decades ago. As a police officer, I pulled my firearm and pointed it at suspects and threatened them with it to effect an arrest dozens of times over a 23-year career, and I didn't shoot anybody, not once. Not one bullet out of my the department-issued gun ever shot another human being, even though I used it to help me effect an arrest on numerous occasions. So clearly, firearms have another purpose other than to kill people. And in fact, if you look at the number of legitimate, lawful, defensive firearms uses at times, the solid, valid research has shown that there are over 1 million lawful, legal, defensive uses of firearms every year, most of which do not entail firing a shot, similar to my experience as a police officer.
Okay, I understand what you're saying. The thing is, ultimately, guns don't do anything besides hurt, besides cause violence. Now, when you say that you use it to threaten people, you know, you use it as a deterrent. Yeah, I understand that, but you could use something else as a deterrent as well. Like if I had a hammer and you don't have a hammer, I can use that as a deterrent. But that hammer also has the ability to drive a nail or separate something, or, you know, actually be used in construction. I don't think a gun is able to do that. Do you?
Well, actually, you can, but that's neither here nor there. Let's look at your point. I'm examining your point for what you just put there, and I'm going to concede to you that the primary purpose of a firearm is to hurl a lethal projectile at velocity sufficient to destroy tissue, cause injury, and kill others. Now, I will concede that right off the bat. That is not a bad thing under certain circumstances. In fact, it is the only tool that you can do to protect other life and property. It is the only tool that is adequate for the purpose, because every time there's a mass shooting, every single time, people show up who have similar tools and firearms in the chaos, in the murder. So I'm going to concede that they are lethal, and that is their primary purpose. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you can do. People talk about hunting and target shooting and all that. Okay, great. You can use a firearm for that, and I would highly recommend to all those who wish to do it to do so. But I think I do not want the government alone to have a monopoly on the use of firearms. I do not want criminals alone to have a monopoly on the use of the firearms. I am in complete accordance with the framers of the Second Amendment and the purposes they put the Second Amendment in the Constitution for. I am in complete accord with those things. If lethal force is necessary to defend either your liberty, your life, or your home, then I am completely for firearms that are capable of using deadly force to stop those threats.
Okay. So I just had one more question. I can't hear y'all because of the audio issue. Question for you, sir. What makes
okay.
you are pardon an ex Vietnam vet? Is did I get that right?
Yes, sir, I am.
What made you?
I got shot with an assault rifle, so I know what they can do.
What made you become an anti-gun enthusiast before? What made you a gun prohibitionist, as you described, after being a war veteran?
Well, because I believed all the propaganda that the pro-gun confiscation crowd was saying. I believed what handgun control, for instance, was saying, and the Coalition to Prevent Handgun Violence and all the other umbrella organizations that sprung therefrom. And I believed all of that propaganda. I thought it was true. And then when I became a police officer, none of what they were saying, and I mean none of it, other than the fact that firearms are legal and do kill people, nothing else they were telling me lined up with my empirical observations on the street, my conversations with other police officers, and my viewing official record. So then I began to think, well, what is it objectively other than my empirical observations that corroborates what I seem to be seeing? And my research led me to believe that everything they were telling me was a lie or a distortion. That's why I changed my mind.
So your actual experience had nothing to do with your
again, there was a combination of both my empirical observation and my corroborating it with factual data.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you for calling in. I really appreciate your testimony and your input. Like I said, you know, because of this audio issue, my audience really can't hear any of the stuff that y'all were talking about. And that's really sad because, you know, y'all were patient. But we're going to get this issue taken care of sooner or later. I'm going to keep fooling around with it, and we'll get it rectified. But listen, I want to thank you both for calling in. I appreciate you both.
You welcome, got it,
sir.
Joe.
Anytime. I hope you do it again.
Now, he's on every day, Sarge. Just about.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be looking when he tackles this subject again because there's a lot to be said about it. And like I said, I used to be in the camp of those who wanted to confiscate guns.
Okay. All right. Have a good night, fellas. Y'all be good.
Take it easy, Go.
Because y'all couldn't hear, I'll have to give y'all a brief synopsis of what was being said. And, bless y'all too. No, oh, I gotta go. Okay, there was a caller on the line. Joe, as y'all know, was on the line. And there was another caller that was on the line. And they were... The caller who knows Joe was saying that he was a ex-Vietnam vet. Well, no, there's no such a thing as an ex-Vietnam vet. He is a Vietnam vet, and he was originally anti-gun. He was what he described as a gun prohibitionist, because he believed a lot of the propaganda that was being waged against guns and gun use and what their purposes were and things like that. But now he's definitely pro-firearms. So he's not necessarily an activist, but he's definitely one who advocates for gun ownership. And he was saying that a very low percentage of criminals are the ones that are responsible for being the gun owners. If you listen to a lot of the news reports, you would think that most of the guns are in the hands of criminals. And he believes that most of the guns are in the hands of law-abiding, responsible citizens. And I actually agree with that. The thing about it is, when we start talking about what law-abiding means, you know, law-abiding covers everybody who hasn't been accused or convicted of a crime. It doesn't necessarily mean that you haven't committed any, but you have not been discovered to have done that. You haven't been arrested for that. You haven't been tried for that. You haven't been convicted of that. I do believe that responsible gun owners need to be respected in that right. And I do believe in protection. You know, we could do this show way longer than we have time to do it because I'm going to have to end it now. But I wanted to fill y'all in on some of the information that the caller was given. He was a very good caller. I really wish that y'all could have heard it in its clarity. But, you know, one day, we're going to get closer. I saw your comment about StreamYard, Carol. So we're going to take a look at it, and hopefully that will be the remedy.
All right, y'all. Let's do these birthday shout-outs. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious. June 14th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and make them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get... All right, let me see here. Number one. Out Zivox, Ramona Smith. Happy birthday to you, Ramona. And also, she's turning 36 years old today. And Shakira Brunson turning 42 years old today. And Joanne Coy, happy birthday to you. And Sheila Cheney, happy birthday to you. And Viola Montgomery turning 34 years old today. Happy birthday to you. And Uniquely In Tune turning 55 years old today. And Monique Lowry turning 51 years old today, and Lonnie D. Nelson turning 57 years old today, and Hava Adel turning 36 years old today, and Elaine DeShields, happy birthday to you, and Amber S. Hawkins, happy birthday to you, and she used to be called the computer lady over on Blog Talk, and last but not least, my girl, going all the way back to the 1991, my girl Tara Simmons, Tara F. Simmons, I want to say happy birthday to you. I hope that today finds you all in good health, happiness, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And that goes out to each and every person born on this glorious June 14th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally. All of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn, the damn. To rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn. Rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn thing. You do your thing. Y'all represent the queens and kings. You do your thing. Y'all represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard. Go for yours. And remember, listen, man. You know, when you're talking about the Second Amendment ain't stupid. You know, all laws are based on money. So, you know, people who lobby, people who donate, people who give money to campaigns are the ones who control the laws. So if you think that there's ever going to be a day when all the guns are taken away from people or all the laws are going to start to make sense to everybody, pro or con, then you can forget it because that's not the way that money matters work. The way that money matters work is that whoever pays gets their way. You pay, you get your way. Just like gun ownership gives you the ability to either take a life or save a life, well, your money gives you the ability to be able to have things go the way that you designed them, the way that you sketched them up, and the way that you think that they should or not. And until we understand that, then the Second Amendment will be as useless to you as algebra was to people who couldn't understand general math. Peace to all my day ones, my everydays, and my brand news. I love y'all to death. Resuscitate y'all. I love y'all right back to life. We will be back tomorrow with another Daily Go Get-Em-ism show. So make sure y'all come through 7 p.m. You know the vibes. All right, so Blog Talk, we going to get you out of here. Yeah. And for my YouTubers, you know just how we do, but thanks for coming on through. See you on the other side, my boobers. And y'all have a great night. Great.